have your Bibles, will you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 20, please? Not only do I invite all of your prayers for our Melissa, but we got word from Roger Gray that his little grandson that was found at the bottom of the pool this past week probably was at the bottom for about 4 or 5 minutes. They're pulling all the plugs on him today, so need to remember that family in prayer. 2 Kings 20, page 447 in your Scofield Bible, verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. My subject for this morning is, If I should die before he comes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, now we come to the most important part of the service. We've had many blessings with all the good music and the fellowship. Now it comes time for the preaching of your word. I ask for extra help this morning. I pray you'd bless your word as it goes out. Save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden, and do a work in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a small boy, I was taught in my Sunday school class a little nighttime prayer. I'm sure everybody has heard about it. In case not, it goes like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Then later on, as a little older, maybe about 9 or 10 years of age, I memorized the Lord's Prayer, so-called Lord's Prayer. And I'm sure everybody is familiar with this. Goes like this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou art the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I would sit up in bed, fold my hands, close my eyes, and I prayed that prayer. I probably prayed that until I got married at age 23. My brother Max and I slept in the same little entryway of our small home. It was so small that the walls were on both sides of our rollaway bed. We had to get into the foot of the bed in order to get into the bed. Very small house. We had 7 people that lived in that small house with 1 bathroom. There were 3 females in the house. And sure, you know, the males didn't have a chance much to get to the bathroom. I went to my neighbors a lot in those days. Max didn't join me in prayer. He was a heathen. But it didn't stop me from praying. And this morning, I want to discuss the subject that I call, If I Should Die Before He Comes. Our Lord promised when he went away that he was going to come back. He's going to gather up all of his born-again children and take them to heaven to be with him where he is and be there forever. If I should die before he comes, I want to get my house in order because the Lord may say to me one day, as he did to Hezekiah, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So my wife and I, we've been working on getting our house in order. We've told the Lord that we would like to go together at the rapture if that would please him. But if that's not going to be the case, then we're asking if we would die at the same time so we could go together. So I've done some outlining and things that I thought about and things I need to do if I should die before he comes. So, of course, the place of the service will be here in our church, of course. That's where it will be had. Jay will lead the congregational singing if he's not in Canada at the time. And we'll sing some Christmas carols. You guys will, no matter what time of the year it is, if it's July or June. Dina will play the organ. And our 4 sons will conduct the service. We purchased 4 cemetery lots out in Tippecanoe New Memory Gardens right after we were married. And that's been back in 1957-58. My dad is buried in one of those lots. My mother is buried in the other one. And the other 2 is left for my wife and myself. Each of our 4 sons have a list of all of our important papers and where they are and how to find them and who's involved in that. And every year we update them. We've just finished doing that in case I should die before one of these days, and no doubt if the rapture doesn't take place, I will. But I've seen so many messed up families and spouses because the husband and the father did not take the time to do those things that would have made his death so much easier for them had he done so. Talking about death and making plans to die if Christ delays his coming should not bother us. And it's something that should be taken care of long before that time comes, because if it doesn't, then it's going to leave the things to the family to do, and it's not a good time to have them do all those kind of things that have to be taken care of. So we need to take care of those things, and we've been doing that if I should die before he comes. I want to give you a few very little simple things that a wise person would be doing. Wise people make ready for two certain events, death or the second coming of Christ. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Then turn over with me in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 25, page number 1035 in your Scofield Bible. Matthew chapter 25, page 1035. I'm going to read verse number 13. Matthew 25, page 1035, verse 13. And Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." In these two verses that I've just read, we have laid before us the second coming of Christ and death. No one can deny the simple and misunderstandable words of Christ. There's no mystery about death. There's no mystery about the second coming of Christ. But we must be ready for these sure events. Over 100,000 people die every 24 hours in our world, and each one of them is going to spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. Which is it going to be for you? The choice is up to you. The Bible reminds us, prepare to meet our God. Keep in mind, dear folks, that we are eternal souls, souls that cannot nor ever will die. But everyone's going to live forever in one of two places the Bible gives to us, and it's in heaven or it's in hell. There are no other places listed in the Bible except these two. So which one's going to be your eternal destination? Turn with me in your Bible to Luke 16, please. Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter. And you'll find that on page 1099. Luke and 1098. Luke chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading a rather lengthy portion of Scripture. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The saved person died immediately was in heaven. The lost person died but and was immediately in hell. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place, in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest in thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to me that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send into my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Old Testament. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will be under the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Here's two men. One died, he was unsaved without Christ, and he went to hell. The other was saved, and he knew Christ, and he went to heaven. Those are the only two places where people are going to go one day. Heaven is an eternal home for all of them that put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Now go back to John chapter 14, if you would. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. You'll find that on page 1135. John chapter 14, page 1135. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know the way, and the way you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now go back to your left just a little bit to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 16, the most familiar verse in all the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 18, "And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Back in 1962, I heard the blessed gospel message of salvation. It penetrated down deep into my heart. I was convicted of my lost condition and my need of a Savior, and so I received Christ into my heart and life. The Bible says in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them and only to them, gave he the right or the power or the authority to become sons and daughters of God." Now, on the basis of God's eternal, infallible word, I have eternal life. I do not deserve eternal life. I deserve the eternal hell, because I am the chief of all sinners. Paul said that he was, but Paul was wrong. Wise people serve God in a humble attitude and gratitude for the great thing of salvation that he's given us to. The new birth makes the new creation out of all of us. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would, please. Page 1233, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look with me at verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1233, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." When you become a new creation, then you should desire to worship the one who saved you. And one of the best ways to worship God is being faithful to his church that he started. Go to Matthew chapter 16 with me now, please. Matthew 16, page 1021 in your Scofield Bible. Matthew chapter 16, page 1021, and verse number 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter," which means a small stone, "and upon this rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Oh, the joy of worshiping and fellowshipping together in this house of worship, and it's such a blessing. But it seems that many don't think so because of their much absenteeism. I am so proud of many of our people. This is the first decent Sunday we've had since Christmas Sunday. This is the first one, I think, in a long, long time. Every Sunday has been bad weather, bad snow. I like snow, but I've had my fill of that, too. And I know that you have, too. But this is the first Sunday that's really been really good. And so we worship the God. It's come to the church to worship our precious Savior. And many people that couldn't be here because of things, bad things, and older folks and different things like that, many of them would send in their tithes, or they'd make up for their tithes, and that meant so much to us to see people do that. Turn with me to the last book in the Old Testament, please, the book of Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, and in chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, page 982 in your Scofield Bible, Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9, Malachi chapter 3, verse 9. "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Is there anybody here that would not like God to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing, so great a blessing that we could hardly receive it all? Several years ago, a dear lady was telling me that her husband would not let her tithe. So she would take her lunch money that he gave to her so she could purchase something to eat at work at noontime. Instead of doing that, she took the money and put it in the offering plate the next week to help pay her tithe. I said to her, "Dear lady, you are a much better Christian than what I am." Then next, wise people pray. I think most people believe in prayer, but the sad thing is very few actually pray. If I was to take a survey this morning and go around and ask each and every one of you, how much time did you spend in prayer this past week? I imagine if we added it all together, it wouldn't be very much. The Lord told his disciples, pray. You need to pray. I want you to notice something. The Lord's disciples asked him one time, "Lord, would you teach us to pray? Not to preach, not to teach, but Lord, would you teach us to pray?" I want you to look with me in your Bibles at some that prayed in the Bible. Go to Abraham, book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, way back in Genesis, chapter number 13. Genesis chapter 13, I want you to notice that Abraham was a man of prayer. And we'll look at verse number 4, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 4. "Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord." Abraham prayed. Go to your right a little bit to Exodus. Moses prayed. Exodus 13, verse 13 of chapter 33, page 115. Exodus chapter 33, verse number 13. Moses prays and he says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people." Elijah prayed. Keep going to your right to 1 Kings chapter 18, page 413. 1 Kings 18, page 413, verse number 37. 1 Kings chapter 18, page 413, verse 37. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Keep going to your right. Isaiah prayed. Go to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, page 718. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 8, page 718. Isaiah chapter 6, page 718, verse 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Would you be willing this morning to tell that to God? If God should reach down and touch you and says, "I want you to do this," or "I want you to do that," would you be willing to say, "God, here am I. Send me. Do whatever you want to with me. I'll go where you want you to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Just reveal that to me." Keep going to your right. Jeremiah prayed. Jeremiah chapter 32, page number 807. Jeremiah chapter 32. Page 807, verses 16 and 17 of Jeremiah 32. "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." And then Jesus prayed. Many times in the Bible we see that, but let's just look at one. Luke chapter 22, Luke's gospel, the 22nd chapter, page 1108. 1108, Luke chapter 22, verses 41 and 42. Luke 22, verses 41 and 42. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Wise people still pray, and an all-knowing God still does answer prayer. When you pray, you have this promise from God. Look at this great promise in Psalm 32, back about in the middle of the Bible. 32nd Psalm. It'll be on page 613, if you've got a Scofield Bible. 613, Psalm 32. And verse number 8, I want you to notice this great verse and the promises that God gives if we pray. Psalm 32, verse number 8, and God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Would you like God to instruct you? Would you like God to teach you? Would you like God to guide you? That'll happen if you spend time in prayer. And then he will supply all of your needs, not necessarily all of your wants, but he will supply all of your needs. Go with me back to the New Testament, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, page 1261. Philippians chapter 4, page 1261, verse number 19. Philippians chapter 4, page 1261, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He'll supply your needs. He will also give you a peace that this world cannot give to you. Go back to John 14 again with me, please. John 14, page 1136. 1136, John 14, and verse number 27. John 14, page 1136, verse 27. Notice what Jesus says in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We need to pray as Paul prayed when he said, I die daily. I die to my plans. I die to my desires. I die to my dreams. I die to my hopes. I die to all of these things that I might live for Christ. Pray for victory over sin in your life. Pray to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Yes, wise people pray. Are you wise? Wise people also witness. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, page 1148. Acts chapter 1, page 1148. Verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, page 1148, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The greatest event in your life was salvation. When you were saved, you became a new creation. You became a child of God. You received the Holy Spirit who lives in your heart. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you are saved forevermore. Go to John chapter 10, familiar verse that I love so much on the assurance, page 1129. 1129, John chapter 10, verse number 28. Again, the Lord is speaking in John 10 and verse 28, and he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. After my salvation, I set out to try to get my wife saved. I wanted her to be saved, of course. And so I prayed about it. I witnessed to her. I probably messed it all up myself. But then 2.5 years later, she trusted in Christ as her Lord and Savior. And then we started praying, of course, for all of our boys that when they reached the age they could understand what salvation is, that they would all come to know Christ, and they all have. The best way to witness is to share your own testimony. What has happened to you? People will listen if you'll back it up by the way you live. Look at another verse with me, please, in Matthew 5, page 1000. Matthew chapter 5, page 1000, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, page 1000, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you are truly saved and you know that Christ saved you, then tell it with your lips. We are all different, but salvation is the same for everybody, and you need to share. You may be young, you may be older, you may be educated, you may be uneducated. It doesn't matter. God can and will use your testimony of your faith in Christ. So these are just a few simple things that wise people will do if they are truly saved. If I should die before he comes, I will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That doesn't make death sound so bad, does it? A few years ago, a lady in our church, Carolyn Morrison, when we were down on Greenbush, was out mowing her yard on a Saturday afternoon. She went into the house to get a drink of water and to rest a little bit, and all of a sudden, a sharp pain went through her body. Her husband put her to bed late Saturday afternoon. Early Sunday morning, he went in to check on her and found that she was absent from the body and present with the Lord. And I did her funeral the following Wednesday. If the Lord delays his coming, if something like this happened to you, are you prepared to meet your God? The whole world has been concerned about 239 people that boarded an airplane, and they haven't been heard of since. I would bet you, and I'm not a betting man, but I would bet you all 239 did not say before they boarded that plane, I better prepare to meet God. This plane may not make it to our destination. I doubt if one of them did that. I wonder about you. If I should die before he comes, let me die having been faithful to him and to his word. Have you prepared to meet God? I wonder this morning, is it time for you to set your house in order? It all begins and starts with salvation. That's the first step. Have you taken that step? If not, this morning would be a good time to do that. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for answering prayer. We just love you and we just praise you this morning. And Lord, I would imagine in a crowd this size that there would be some that don't really know Christ. They probably know about him, but they don't have a personal relationship with him. They've never been born again. They've never received Christ into their heart and life. And I pray for them especially. I pray that they will do that this morning. I pray that they will receive him. I pray they will accept him and be saved forever and forever. Bless the invitation as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.